Today would have been Bray Wyatt's 38th birthday, and so it was very appropriate that tonight's show close with the return of the Wyatt Six. I couldn't even tell you the last time that we saw the Wyatt Six on WWE television. There's been so many reports about injuries and creative being worked on, and when would we see them? It was almost becoming a meme. But it was appropriate that this right here was the closing image. There you see Uncle Howdy and all the members of the Wyatt Six and a birthday cake on the mat with a single candle in the middle of it. 38 years old Bray Wyatt would have been today. Carrying on the, the creative vision of Bray when I thought that this was going to be over with because I had just about given up on these guys even being back on TV. It had been so long. And now all of a sudden it looks like they're going to be involved in the tag team picture on the SmackDown side. Why? I don't know. We'll have to see if we get some kind of explanation. We didn't get it tonight. But just 24 hours before Saturday night's main event, we had the Street Profits defending the SmackDown tag team titles against Fraxium. And it sucks that a match like that had to end with such a shit finish. But the addition of the Wyatts, it only adds to an already strong tag team division. And the thing is, you know, as strong as the SmackDown tag team division may be, that will only go so far when you see the same teams over and over and over again, right? It gets very stale after a while. So you saw DIY out there and you saw the Motor City Machine Guns, and Fraxium is a new team. Street Profits have been around on this show for a while. And you just want some new blood in there. And that's what the Wyatt Six would deliver. Whatever their reasons are for now wanting to suddenly go after the tag team titles and the tag team division on this show, now we have some new faces. The only question is, which members of the Wyatt Six are going to presumably be challenging for the tag team titles at some point? I would imagine that it would be Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy. I hope it is Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy. I think that would be, you know, the appropriate team to go with, but we'll have to wait and find out. But they got a nice reception tonight from the crowd. You saw Uncle Howdy out there delivering Sister Abigail to Johnny Gargano, looking up at the heavens, blowing out the birthday candle. It was a nice moment, and it's good to have them back on TV. We'll see what the creative is for them. You know, maybe they'll tone down on you know, some of the spookier aspects that we were getting before. Are we going to hear from them more often, you know, promo-wise? I have some questions about what we're going to get out of the Wyatt Six now going forward, but only time will tell. This was only their return today. We didn't actually hear from them. You know, maybe they'll freebird that shit. Maybe they'll rotate partners and it'll be, you know, one week it'll be Eric Rowan and Dexter Lumis, and that'll be Uncle Howdy and Joe Gacy. I don't know. We'll see if they allow that. We had two Money in the Bank qualifiers on the show tonight, and they did the right thing. In both cases, the correct people went over, and they are going to Money in the Bank. Julia wins the women's Money in the Bank qualifier. LA Knight wins the men's Money in the Bank qualifier. So he is going to LA, very appropriate, to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. The matches that we saw on TV tonight, they were fine. They were nothing, you know, they were no great shakes, but I was very happy to see the right people going over here. So that was a good thing. R-Truth was on this show for one last promo before his match with John Cena tomorrow night. There was no John Cena on this show, and it really hit me. This was a very quick turnaround. You know, we saw R-Truth get involved in the finish of the John Cena-Randy Orton match at Backlash a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, these guys are going to be in the ring tomorrow night on Saturday night's main event, non-title, of course, as it should be, but even still, to not get any John Cena appearances on this show, no John Cena interaction in the lead-up to this match, just feels like a waste. And I still see tomorrow being more of an angle than a match, and so the most important stuff will happen tomorrow night, but still, you know, when Cena's not there, the other person has to carry it. They sent R-Truth out there tonight to cut a promo. He did the best he could. It wasn't anything great, but this is paper thin right now. So, I mean, what would you expect? He's going to go out there and say the usual stuff. You know, this is not the John Cena I know, and, you know, I'm going to smack some sense into this guy. That's basically the story they're telling here. But it would have been nice at least once before this match tomorrow night to have some sort of face-off with the two of them in the ring together. That would have been nice. And the first match has been announced for this World Collide show that's coming up in LA on June 7th, same day as Money in the Bank. Earlier that afternoon, WWE, NXT, AAA, we didn't have anything announced up until now. And the first match has been announced. It will have Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar, Angel, and Berto taking on Psycho Clown, Pagano, and El Hijo, del Dr. Wagner Jr. That is the first match made official for that show. You know, we had Psycho Clown in House of Glory last year on Cinco de Mayo for a match with Mike Santana, and it kicked ass. So I know what Psycho Clown is all about. The other guys, not so much, but we'll find out. Because it's coming up pretty quick. Worlds Collide is not that far away, so we're going to have an actual card announced very, very soon. That's coming up at the Kia Forum on June 7th. And here I sit now, 2 weeks before June 6th. And June 6th, it was Meltzer in The Observer a few months ago who was the first person to mention the fact that June 6th was believed to have been the date that SmackDown would revert back to 2 hours. There has been nothing said about this ever since, until this week, when there were unconfirmed reports that now it appears SmackDown may be staying 3 hours at least through the month of June, and we have no further clarity on when or even if this show is going back to 2 hours. These motherfuckers are going to end up keeping this show at 3 hours permanently. See, I feared this. I feared that this was going to happen. You've already got Raw, which was 3 hours for years, right? Now, at least it's 2.5 on Netflix, which is good. Better than three. But you go 3 hours for 6 months just to go back to 2 hours. What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of that? And what other shows on this network do better than WWE? So if you're USA Network, why would you even want SmackDown to go back to 2 hours? I would not at all be shocked if this becomes a permanent arrangement. That's my fear right now. But it looks like we're going to be sticking with 3 hours for at least a little while longer. But this is your SmackDown review for May 23rd, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. As we close out this portion of the week, I thank you for being here with me. This show tonight did not suck. It wasn't a great show, but this show did not suck. We've had some SmackDowns that have sucked this year. This SmackDown did not suck. We'll talk about it. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen as we go along here. There's my boy, Trill Mexican. I know he's happy after hearing the song that I played here at the beginning of tonight's show. So get those super chats on in if you want to support, and I will be reading all of your messages a little bit later on here in the stream. I also want to mention this week, this portion of the week coming to an end, but there's a busy weekend of wrestling coming up, including Sunday night, AEW Double or Nothing, including Anarchy in the Arena, and two Owen Hart tournament finals matches, one on the men's side, one on the women's side. Yeah, I mentioned Bray Wyatt would have turned 38 years old today if he was still around. 26 years ago today, Owen Hart passed away. That was the date of the Over the Edge pay-per-view in 1999, 26 years ago. And this Sunday, we will have two matches representing Owen Hart in name, one involving Mercedes Moné and Jamie Hayter, and the other involving Will Ospreay and Hangman Adam Page. And that match is going to be closing the show. That is your main event on Sunday. I will be live after Double or Nothing on Sunday night. So I hope you guys will be here with me. Even if you're not watching AEW, come hang out with me anyway. And we will talk about the show. Let's talk about this show. Let's talk about SmackDown. As they were doing their usual shots, they do this every single show. You see the wrestlers coming into the venue. They're rolling their luggage. They're looking around or they're talking to their partner. So they're showing all of this stuff. We see Drew McIntyre walk into the building. And as soon as he walks into the building, he gets jumped by Damian Priest. And the two of them had to be pulled apart. Then it was out to the arena with the WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton, who closed the show last week. A great main event, as it turned out, her and Nia Jax. So now she opens the show here this week. Wings! She's having some wings! Havili, thank you. My boy Havili. Dropping a super chat here. Rose Gold says, this SmackDown does not deserve a review. Well, I guess I should pack it up and we should just get the hell out of here. What do you guys think? Sorry, Rose Gold. I'll try to make this more entertaining than SmackDown. I know he appears to not be a fan of the show tonight. Tiffany's in the ring. And she says that a year ago, she was the one walking into Money in the Bank with all the hype in the world. And now she's the champion. She talked about beating Charlotte Flair and Nia Jax recently. She was about to warn the future Ms. Money in the Bank about attempting to cash in on her when she was interrupted by Alexa Bliss's music. And Alexa came out. She made her way down to the ring, introduced herself to Tiffany, and said that she's had her eye on her. Bliss said that she initially felt bad for Charlotte, but then she realized she shouldn't feel bad for a queen. And she recalled once cashing in Money in the Bank herself on Nia Jax, but she actually liked Nia. She said it wasn't personal, but she doesn't even know Tiffany at all. And Bliss said that if Stratton thinks her rise to the top was quick, just wait for the downfall. That brought out Charlotte Flair. As soon as she said downfall, here comes Charlotte Flair. Starts to speak as she's headed to the ring. Crowd is doing its best to drown her out with boos. She congratulated Tiffany for beating her at WrestleMania, said that Tiffany is doing great, but it won't last forever. And Flair said that she's done everything there is to do in this business aside from winning Money in the Bank, which is actually, that's not true. Now they have that women's mid-card title. So at some point, she's going to win that U.S. championship. But yeah, she's won the Royal Rumble now, what, twice, I believe. She's won multiples of world championships. I believe tag team titles as well. NXT championship. She's done just about all there is to do. She actually has not won Queen of the Ring. Given the fact that she calls herself the Queen, that is something you would think is going to happen at some point, although we're not getting King and Queen of the Ring at all this year. She's done a lot. She's done a lot in her career. She got into the ring. She said that what she wants, she gets. Stratton recalled Charlotte saying that cashing in the Money in the Bank contract was taking the easy way out. And yet here she is trying to cash in. She said Bliss and Flair were too vintage for her, and she's the upgrade. And that was a good line. That was a good line. The fans reacted to that line. She said that it will always be Tiffy time. She did a mic drop, and she left the ring. And as she was headed to the back, Julia made her entrance. And there was a brief moment. They passed each other in the aisle, and they shared a stare. And then Julia continued to the ring for the opening match. There were no hints of anything here in this segment between Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, who have had a few interactions over the last few weeks. I thought that was strange, but then they came back to it later in the show in a backstage segment. I thought Alexa was really good here, just, you know, in her delivery. There wasn't a whole lot to this promo, but I thought that she, you know, sounded good here. Otherwise, a very basic opening to the show. I mean, there was nothing earth-shattering about this opening segment. We've seen it 1,000 times. But I don't know, just Alexa's delivery that stood out to me here. We had our first of 2 Money in the Bank qualifying matches. This was the ladies qualifier tonight, Charlotte Flair, Zelina Vega, the reigning United States champion, and Julia. This was Julia's in-ring SmackDown debut. Things were a little slow to start with Charlotte and Julia. They were teasing, locking up. They were feeling each other out. Vega kept getting in the way. Then they tried to double suplex Vega, who then countered on the way down, turned it into a double DDT on both women. Vega and Julia, they found themselves on the outside. Charlotte followed. And then Zelina landed a moonsault onto both of them on the floor. That took us into the commercial break. Flair got Vega in the electric chair position, and Julia delivered a missile dropkick to Charlotte, which caused both of them to fall down. Julia made covers on both women, only got 2 counts. A little while later, Flair did a top rope moonsault on both ladies simultaneously. She actually landed this moonsault, a rare in-ring moonsault. by Charlotte Flair that actually connected and looked good. So she landed across both women, covered them, only got two. Julia caught Charlotte in the rings of Saturn and rolled her into a pin for two. Flair came back and speared Julia. Flair then went for the figure eight. Julia countered into an inside cradle. Didn't quite get the pinfall. Flair then got Julia in a figure four leg lock. Zelina broke that up before Charlotte could turn it into a figure eight. Vega hit Julia with a code red, had her beat. Charlotte over, break up the pin. Flair did put Vega, though, in the figure eight after this and had her all locked up in it, I'd say, for a good 10 or 15 seconds as Julia was positioning herself on the top rope. She was about to come off, and she did, and she double-stomped Charlotte's surgically repaired knee on the way down. So Charlotte was selling pain. She rolled to the floor in pain. Julia, meanwhile, followed with a Northern Lights bomb on Vega, which is her finish, and she pinned her to qualify for Money in the Bank. There were some timing issues here early in the match with Charlotte and Julia. This was their first time in the ring together, so it looked like they were not on the same page, but after a while, they got on the same page. Julia winning in her debut match was a must here. Julia, when she walks out, you know, people talk about aura. They throw that word around. We hear that word so much now. When she walks out, she has that. She has aura. Everything about her just screams superstar. And she's going to do big things on SmackDown. So her going to Money in the Bank, maybe not winning Money in the Bank, but at least qualifying and going to Money in the Bank, and this being her first match, and as big as I think she'll go on to be, this just felt like a must win. You know, Charlotte, I never expected Zelina to win, and she didn't have to win. Charlotte winning this match would have been completely underwhelming. You know, for all the reasons that you would imagine, I just think that would have been, you know, a terrible decision had she gone over here. And the fact that, you know, she comes out there and says, oh, the one thing I've never done is I've never won Money in the Bank. It matters not to me. And I joke about it every week, but it's true. You know, I say, well, she's got her Charlotte in the Bank, so what does she need Money in the Bank for? But it's true. It's true. This woman, if she wanted a title shot, she would get a title shot. She could win one match, and Nick Aldis would give her a title shot. She could get hurt and be out for a month and come back in her first night and get a title shot. Right? There's no urgent need for her to go in there and win Money in the Bank, outside of the fact that, yeah, she got beat by Tiffany Stratton. That is true. She did have a title match at WrestleMania by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble. She lost. So if she wanted to be vaulted back into the title picture, the quickest way to do that would be to win Money in the Bank, right? Ain't nobody wants to see that. So I was happy that they went with the right choice here in Julia. They didn't have Charlotte win. To be frank, I would find it, and her, far more interesting if they went with a losing streak story, you know, where she's lost her golden touch and then she ends up in like a downward spiral of some kind, because it's something we haven't seen done with her before. And then that would probably dovetail nicely into wherever this is headed with her and Alexa Bliss, right? You could kind of merge the two things together. I don't know if that's the story they're going for here, if she's going to continue to lose matches. I mean, she's only lost two matches now, right? WrestleMania and now this qualifying match. I don't know if that's where this is headed. To me, I would find her character far more interesting if they took a path like that. And I hope they do something like that. Now, you'll notice who Julia pinned. If you watch the show, you'll notice that Julia pinned Zelina Vega to win this match. I talked about this on the Sound Off this weekend. I think somebody else brought up something similar in the Super Chats last week, where you have her pin Zelina because Zelina is the United States champion. So even if Julia goes on to Money in the Bank and doesn't win, she's got a win now over the U.S. champ. So coming out of Money in the Bank, it's a very easy claim for her. And she doesn't, I'm not saying put the title on her right away, but I'm just saying as the summer progresses, you get to a point where we do get Julia and Zelina, or Julia and Chelsea, because Chelsea's getting a rematch. I'll talk about that later. And you get that U.S. title on Julia. I don't know what event. I don't know when you do it. I don't know if you do it before SummerSlam, at SummerSlam. But I think the goal now should be to look to the future in the next few months, which is Julia holding that United States championship and letting her have a run with that for a while. Really establish that title as something meaningful, you know, let her feud with different people, run through a bunch of people. That's what I hope we get out of this. And you could easily, you know, get around to it by just pointing out the fact that she pinned the champion and pinned Charlotte. She pinned the champion here in this match. So that I like. So here's who we have qualified so far on the women's side for Money in the Bank. Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, and Julia have all qualified, which honestly, that's four of the six. That's a hell of a lineup so far. We still have two spots left to fill. Next week, it's going to be Nia Jax, Naomi, and Jade Cargill in another triple threat qualifier that will fill one spot. I would imagine then we'll be getting one more women's qualifier on Raw this Monday, and that would be all six spots. I think, you know, looking Nia, Naomi, and Jade, I'll tell you what, after some of the matches that Nia's had recently, I wouldn't even mind it if Nia qualified, but this really should be Naomi's spot. You know, Naomi went in there at WrestleMania and she lost. And they're still, you know, sending Naomi out there with Jade and they're still at each other's throats. Now they're going to be in the same match next week. Jade doesn't have to take the losing fall in a match like this if they're worried about beating Jade Cargill. Naomi really should win this match. Naomi really should be one of the favorites, honestly, to win the briefcase. But at the very least, I feel like she should be in that match. So if I had to make a pick right now for next week, I'm going with Naomi to win that triple threat. Now, in the back later, I'm skipping ahead here, but this is relevant to what we were just talking about. They show Charlotte Flair in the backstage area, and she's walking, and she comes across Alexa Bliss. And Bliss is talking to no one in particular, talking about how that's why it's important to have friends, because when you don't, there's no one there to lift you up when everything else falls apart. And Charlotte assumes she's referring to her, and she says to her, "What did you say?" And Bliss said, "I wasn't talking to you." And she held up Lily the doll. And then she went to go leave, but she stopped and told Charlotte, "See you at Money in the Bank," before realizing that Charlotte is in fact not going to Money in the Bank. And then she said, "Sorry," and she left. So again, even though we had no real interaction between the two of them in the opening segment, which I thought was strange, we did have this segment later in the show. So they're keeping this issue alive with her and Alexa. I think the potential is there to do something interesting with them. I like the idea of Charlotte just continuing to spiral downward and getting so desperate that maybe she does take Alexa up on her offer to be friends or be partners and just, you know, see where it goes. Do something a little outside the box that's very un-Charlotte Flair-esque with Charlotte. That would be of interest to me, as opposed to her just doing the same old shtick that she does every single week. You know, change things up a little bit. You know, Havili, you better go easy on those wings tonight. You might get sick. You have too many of them. Havili, thank you. Having more of the woo wings tonight. Zelina Vega was walking backstage, and she was very upset over her loss when she was confronted by Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Alba Fire. Vega hit Green after Chelsea called her a loser, which led to Niven and Fire pulling them apart. They all attacked Zelina. When Meechin and B-Fab showed up to even the odds. So we had a little brawl here. Nick Aldis shows up and he yelled for them to stop fighting. And then he ended up booking Meechin and B-Fab in a tag team match later in the show against Piper Niven and Alba Fire. We go to Tommaso Ciampa one-on-one with Chris Sabin. After a break, Ciampa rolled outside to go talk to Johnny Gargano. Sabin and Ciampa, they battled on the apron. They were exchanging chops. All of a sudden, Ciampa drops him on his head on the apron with an air raid crash. In the ring, Ciampa set up for the fairy tale ending. Sabin countered out into a dragon screw leg whip, followed by a tornado DDT that only got him a two count. Sabin went to the top when Gargano hopped up on the apron to distract him. Alex Shelley now confronts Gargano, and Ciampa boots Shelley right in the face off the apron. Saban hits a crossbody on both Gargano and Ciampa outside on the floor. Back inside, Saban went to the top. Ciampa, though, cut him off. And Saban pushed Ciampa off. Ciampa now is on the ground. He's faking a leg injury. So while the referee is checking on Ciampa, we see Candice LeRae shows up on the apron. And she attacks Saban, drapes him over the top rope. Ciampa takes advantage. He rolls down his knee pad. He hits Saban with a running knee strike. And he gets the pin. The match was okay. It was a match. The machine guns, though, it's noticeable how much juice they've lost. I don't mean the kind of juice that Hogan lost when you saw him come back in 93, you know, where he looked like a deflated balloon. I just mean in terms of whatever little bit of momentum they had started to build, where the crowds were starting to react to them a little bit. Crowds really aren't reacting to them, you know, which is kind of sad to see. Candice, though, I think I like the addition of Candice with DIY, assuming that this is going to be a permanent thing now going forward. Maybe she'll be out there with them for their matches. I think that's a good thing. She had a good spot with Nia when she was Nia's sidekick and she was, you know, giving the stink eye to Tiffany and they had that little thing going on. And now that's over. She's not with Nia anymore. She has really no direction at all. We already know that her and Johnny are together, so why not pair them up, you know, and have her come out with them? So I like that pairing. I hope they keep that up. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Now, Damian Priest was about to make his entrance on the way to the ring. To do what? We'll never know, because we hear his music. But then instead of Damian Priest coming out all by himself, we had him and Drew McIntyre fighting out through the curtain into the arena. So they're still fighting. And officials come out to break them up. Now, Priest is in the ring. Now, he's surrounded by officials and geeks and various people. And he grabs a microphone and he is not happy. And he screams, "Hey, oya, pendejo. What are you going to hide behind your phone?" He goes, "No, it's WEPA time. Tomorrow I send your ass to the hospital, but tonight I get my pound of flesh. I had that for dinner tonight. It was quite good. A lot of protein." So then he clotheslined two of the security geeks. He left the ring to go back to brawling with McIntyre in the aisle before ultimately they were separated again. You know, I got to go to the store tomorrow in the morning. Maybe I'll randomly blurt that out when I go to the store. What do you think? I could record people's react. I'll just bust into the store and go, "It's WEPA time," and just see what kind of look they give me, right? Probably call the fucking cops on me. Oya, pendejo. Backstage, Solo Sikoa was speaking with JC Mateo. When Jacob Fatu showed up, he wanted to talk to Solo in private. Solo said, "Anything you want to say, you can say in front of JC, because JC is family." So Jacob told Mateo he doesn't like him, he doesn't trust him, and he doesn't like what Solo's got going on. He didn't need their help at Backlash. He said JC isn't his blood, and he damn sure ain't his family. Solo had to keep them apart. He told them, "Look, take all that anger, and I want you guys to direct that anger on your opponents tonight," because they had a match coming up against Jimmy Uso and Rey Fénix. So he wants them to channel all of that on them in their match. Now, he knows Jimmy is upset that Roman left, but you know who never left, he said? This guy. Him. And he never will. And he wants Jimmy to come back, but the only way they can do that is if the two of them work together as one. So that match came later in the show. We had Meechan and B-Fab against Piper Niven and Alba Fire with Chelsea Green in their corner. B-Fab and Niven, they started the match, but Alba quickly tagged herself in. Niven knocked Meechan off the apron, hit a senton on B-Fab. Piper tagged in, delivered a sidewalk slam to B-Fab. Eventually, B-Fab kneed her in the face, got the tag to Meechan. She comes in. Now, Chelsea gets up on the apron to distract the referee when Zelina Vega reappears, and she yanks Chelsea off the apron and then delivers a running knee strike on the floor. Meanwhile, in the ring, Meechan hits Eat Defeat on Alba, which leads to B-Fab hitting her finish. I don't know what she calls it, but she hit her finish on Alba and pinned her to win it for the babyfaces. This was a 3-minute match. What more can be said? It got them some TV time. It didn't get them a lot of television time. It's a rare win for Meechan and BFAB here on this show. But that's not what the focus was. The real focus here was on Zelina Vega and Chelsea Green, two people that were not even in the match. And Zelina getting her revenge on Chelsea for what happened in their backstage interaction earlier in the show. And I was sitting here watching this, and I'm just wondering, like, why is this still going on? And then they announced that they're going to have another match tomorrow night. This has now been added to make a fifth match for Saturday night's main event. It's going to be Chelsea Green challenging Zelina Vega for the United States Championship. So that is now official for tomorrow. I was wondering, because the first Saturday night's main event they did back in December, we had five matches, which included Chelsea winning the U.S. title for the first time. The one that they did in January had four matches. So I said, when I did my predictions the other day, I said, you know, it's a coin flip. 50-50 whether or not they add another match, because they had no women's matches. They were all men's matches. And you see the way the women are featured on these shows week to week. I mean, last week, the women headlined, they made event at every single show, Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. How do they not get a match on Saturday night's main event? Now they have one. Now, the Street Profits were interviewed in the back. Angelo Dawkins said that it's a big night for Fraxium and the Profits. He shouted out how tonight is not a friendly exhibition. Montez Ford chimed in. He mocked Fraxium for being called the best tag team in the world. He said they would walk out the same way they walked in as the tag team champions. And as they're talking, we see Solo Sikoa, we see JC Mateo, and we see Jacob Fatu come walking by. And the five of them shared a quick stare down. And then Jacob Fatu said to Montez Ford, "Oye, pendejo." And he continued walking to the ring. We got a Legado del Fantasma vignette. They were sitting at a dining room table. This was like something right out of NXT. They're in someone's house, and they're sitting at a dining room table. Got some glasses of wine. Birdo, for those who have not been following this story, Birdo has been on the outs. They haven't even been able to get a hold of him the last few weeks. He's been venting his frustrations. So now we got the family back together here in this segment. Escobar told the two of them that they are capable of achieving greatness together. Escobar said, "At Worlds Collide, they will come together against the best that they have to offer," they being AAA, which they never mentioned. Escobar said, that'd be kind of funny, actually. They bought a 51% controlling interest in this company. And the rule is just like, we're not going to mention the name. We're gonna treat it like AEW. Like, you can't mention the initials. You got to say they and them. So he goes, "We're going to face off with the best that they have to offer." Escobar said that they will stand victorious in front of their people. He tried to make a toast. Birdo, though, did not seem very interested. Escobar told him to see the vision. So Birdo stood up, guzzled the wine, and he left. I guess he saw the vision. Angel asked, "Do you want me to go after him?" And Escobar said, "Let him go. Soon he will understand." And then they made the announcement, which is that Legado del Fantasma is going to be wrestling Psycho Clown, Pagano, and I want to make sure I get it right. El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. There you go. I almost said Dr. Wagner Jr. It's El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. El Grande Americano has not yet been announced for Worlds Collide. But I am certain he will be on that show doing something with either Penta or Penta and Rey Fénix. It just hasn't been announced yet. We should get that announcement on Raw this Monday, though. And that's going to be airing on YouTube in both English and Spanish, they said. I actually think that's pretty cool that it's airing on YouTube. It's very convenient. I mean, I have my Peacock subscription, so it's like, I don't give a shit either way. I'll check out the show after the fact. I'm not going to be here that day. I have a House of Glory show that day, so I'm missing out on Worlds Collide and Money in the Bank. But at some point when I catch up with Worlds Collide, it's very easy to just pop on YouTube and just watch the show. But it's going to make the show more accessible to a lot of people. there are going to be a lot of their fans that have never seen AAA before that don't even know what AAA, they think that they have a AAA card in their wallet. That's what they think AAA is, right? They have no concept of this. Or they don't even know what Lucha Libre is. They don't watch any of the Lucha Libre promotions. So there's going to be a learning curve for a lot of their audience, and they know this. Giving them greater access to the product initially is a smart move. You know, it's going to be a work in progress here, but you want to give people as much access as you can. So I think it's smart. We had Jacob Fatu and JC Mateo with Solo Sikoa at ringside in their corner against Jimmy Uso and Rey Fénix. Uso and it just felt wrong, by the way. Rey Fénix having a tag team partner other than his brother. Actually, we had Jimmy Uso here also, and Jimmy Uso in a tag team match with anybody but his brother just feels wrong. But they were a tag team tonight for one night only. You could watch both programs on your monitors at HOG. As opposed to the show that I'm commentating, I think that would be kind of difficult, don't you think? It's going to be a fucking 8-hog match in the ring, and I'm going to be, all of a sudden, I'm going to be doing commentary. I'm going to be saying like, Oya, pendejo, look what's going on here in this match. And people are going to go, what the fuck is he talking about? It's Puerto Rican weekend. Mike Santana is Puerto Rican weekend. So I probably shouldn't be saying that on the broadcast. But no, I will have to pay attention and focus on what I'm doing. Thank you for the advice, though. Jimmy and Fatu, they started things out. Mateo, though, immediately tagged himself in. And Fatu was not very happy about that. So Mateo took Uso down very quickly and stomped on him in the corner. Fatu then tagged himself in. And JC Mateo was not happy about that. So you could already tell what the story of this match was. Can they coexist? We've had a few matches like that in the last few weeks. We had that on NXT, I think it was last week. With Stephanie Vaquer and Jordan Grace, right? Can they coexist? They're wrestling at Battleground this Sunday. We had that with Will Ospreay and Hangman Page on Dynamite last week. Can they coexist? And tonight, there's trouble in the bloodline. Can Jacob and JC Mateo coexist? I don't know. Let's find out. Fénix tagged in. He kicked Fatu in the head. Mateo ran into a bunch of super kicks. And so with JC and Fatu on the outside, Fénix hit a corkscrew plancha with an assist from Jimmy, who balanced him on the top rope. Then he came off with the corkscrew. That took us into a commercial break. When we came back from the break, Mateo had the advantage against Jimmy. He had a standing moonsault. Fatu then tagged in, landed a running hip attack. Mateo tagged back in. He placed Uso on the top rope. He teased the German suplex. Jimmy, though, fought out of it, knocked Mateo off the top. Fénix then got the hot tag from Uso. Fatu tagged in as well. Fénix walked the ropes. He took everybody out, including a poison rana on Fatu for a good near fall. Jacob landed a pop-up Samoan drop before going for a hip attack, which he missed. Mateo tagged in. He went for a German. Fénix, though, went up and over, and he landed on his feet on the landing. Uso tagged himself in at this point because Fénix happened to be in his corner. So Jimmy tags in, hits a crossbody block on Mateo from the top. Fatu broke up the pin attempt. Fénix hit a missile drop kick to Fatu that knocked him out to the floor. And then he tried to follow up with a dive out onto Jacob Fatu. And this did not work out too well for Rey Fénix, who got caught and he got propelled up and over and he landed on the announce desk and he bounced onto the floor. Tough landing. Jimmy hit a spear in the ring on Mateo. He went up top. I just realized, like, Jimmy's offense is basically Jay's offense. I mean, it's the super kicks. It's the spear. It's the Uso. Like, how have these two not done anything to differentiate themselves? They've been apart now for a while. How has one or the other, I'm talking like in ring, I'm not talking entrance or music or anything like that, but like in ring, how have they not like done anything to really differentiate themselves from each other? It's all the same moveset. It's almost like they're twins. But you would think they would try some new stuff. I don't know. Anyway, Jimmy goes up to the top for a splash. Now Solo Sikoa hops up on the apron to distract Big Brother and try to convince him to join their ranks. Uso, though, misses the dive. He went for the splash. He missed it. Rolled through. Then he got caught by Mateo, and he took a tour of the islands as Mateo pinned Big Jim for the win. They had a good match here. The crowd was really, I think, the factor that elevated this. The crowd was very quiet for a lot of things on this show tonight, but they really got into this match here. The longer it went, and honestly, it was Fatu and it was Rey Fénix that had a lot to do with that. I think this was one of the best Rey Fénix matches in ring that he's had so far since joining WWE. I thought he looked great here. Mateo, he's brand new, so you have to do what you can to protect him and establish him as a threat. He won last week in a match I didn't think was very exciting at all. I thought it was a very boring match. 15-minute long match against LA Knight, but he won. This was a much better match, and he won it for his team. And they're establishing the tour of the islands as his finish. Again, this is all stuff that you want to do with somebody new. 30 years ago, you know, he'd be wrestling on the syndicated shows for 3 months, getting that move over, and then he would move into a feud with, you know, the fucking Berserker or somebody. But now, you know, he's in there mixing it up with some of the top stars on the show. So, but it's still important to get him some wins. So that was good. And obviously now they're going in really hard on the dissension in the ranks of the bloodline between Mateo and Fatu. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. Solo is trying to keep the family together. He's trying to broker a peace between them. You know, it's such a weird thing. I thought for sure, if not at WrestleMania, then by Backlash, we would have already been at the stage where there was a breakdown in the bloodline and we would have gotten Solo and Jacob, you know, in the ring against each other. And now by adding a new member in Jeff Cobb, and who knows, you know, Tama Tonga and Tongaloa are out right now. They'll be back at some point. And we still don't know what the hell's going on with Hikuleo. So there are new members even that could still join this group because the bloodline will never die. But like, how long now is it going to be before we get to Solo and Jacob? Because now Mateo's in there. And they're building to something at some point between JC Mateo and Jacob Fatu. So by the time we get to Jacob and Solo in the ring, I mean, probably SummerSlam at the earliest. Like, they're going to milk this for all it's worth. If you would have told me that a couple of months ago, I would have said there's no way we would have our first match by now. But I don't think it happens before SummerSlam, honestly. Now, coming up next, we had R-Truth. R-Truth is challenging John Cena tomorrow night not for the WWE Championship, but he is challenging the WWE Champion on Saturday night's main event. Now, the champion cannot be bothered to be here tonight. So R-Truth had to come out here and give the hard sell for this match, which is not something that we're used to seeing him doing. Because for years and years and years, R-Truth has been a comedy character on this show. He's a talented guy. He's a veteran guy. He's a former NWA World Champion. He's been doing this a very long time, but he has not been in a position where you are meant to take him seriously in a main event caliber match. So this is very different. We actually have not seen R-Truth in a role like this in this company in well over a decade. Actually, probably closer to like 15 years. When was he doing the heel thing with the smoking in it? The last time he wrestled Cena, right? Capital Punishment. They had that pay-per-view match. That had to be 14, 15 years ago now. So this is a little bit different. So he gets in the ring. Says everybody keeps asking him, how are you going to handle fighting your childhood hero, John Cena? But they don't get it. He's not fighting his childhood hero. The man that he sees now, the man that attacked him, he doesn't recognize him. But he's been thinking about his childhood hero, John Cena. He couldn't figure out where it went wrong or how he could have prevented this. But then he realized the problem. And I realized the problem as well, because the way he was delivering this, and there are different people, it's so interesting the different ways people deliver promos on these shows, because you would think some of them would know better by now. They deliver it in like pieces. They recite their sentences in chunks, where they give the audience a chance. It's almost like they're encouraging them to say, what? And they pick up on it, and so they start doing it. And if you give them a chance to do it, they will do it. So in what was supposed to be a serious promo here, and people like R-Truth, but they started to give him the what treatment. And then he did the worst thing that you could do, which is he acknowledged it. And it's almost like he encouraged them to then continue doing it. So, of course, they kept doing it. But he said he realized what the problem is. Power. It's always power. He used to call Truth his friend, his brother, right? John Cena used to call this man his brother. But the more power and fame that Cena got, the more disconnected he felt. The text messages lessened. The replies were slower. The phone calls stopped. He felt like Cena was always annoyed with him because no matter what he did, it was wrong. And he said he blamed himself. Then he thought he did something to upset him, but then he started talking to others. And they said and felt the same way that he did. He said John Cena isolated himself with power. He was like that goblin guy on Lord of the Rings. He became corrupted. He goes, that's you, John Cena. Staring at your championship, calling it your precious. It's not the championship, it's your ego, dog. You stopped having fun and now you get mad when someone else wants to have fun or a good time. He doesn't like who Cena's become. He doesn't think that Cena's even happy. He says, John Cena is the greatest of all time. He's not, but that's what he said. He said, John Cena is the greatest of all time. He doesn't know if he can bring him back, but he can try. He's not going to take his joy away from him. You're not going to take my joy away from me, he said. Because you want to ruin wrestling? So if he wants to save wrestling, then that means he's got to save John Cena. He doesn't want to have to put his hands on him, but if he doesn't want to put his hands on him, he's got a fucking match. That's why I keep saying this is going to be more of an angle than a match. This guy is coming out here to cut a promo to promote a match on Saturday night's main event tomorrow. I don't want to have to put my hands on you. What's he going to do? Is he going to blink him into submission? He goes, I don't want to have to put my hands on you, but if I have to, I will beat the ever-loving hustle, loyalty, and respect right back into your ass. He's going to leave us with this. He misses his hero. He can't deny it. So Saturday, we say it again. If Cena wins, we riot. What's up? And that's how he closed the promo. He did what he had to do. This is the story they're telling. They're trying to pull the old John Cena out of him. Truth has devastated this man that he has looked up to and idolized and stolen moves from now for years, is behaving in the way that he's behaving and saying the things he's saying. And if I have to get physical with this guy, then that's what I'll do because, you know, tough love. And John Cena, I would presume, is going to have to do something very evil to this man because he's the heel. And if you want to get heat, then that's what you do. But they're going to tease it. You know, they're going to tease it tomorrow that Truth is going to try to talk some sense into him. And Cena may, you know, he'll be making all these funny facial expressions and wondering, you know, maybe he's right. Right. But then, of course, he'll put Truth down. That's how I presume this is going to play out tomorrow. It's just tough. This John Cena heel turn has been very underwhelming. I don't want to say it sucks, but it's not what I had always envisioned a John Cena heel turn looking like. Basically, the heel turn came, you know, 12 or 13 years too late. At least a decade. It came a decade too late. And it's nice, in theory, the idea that, oh, well, at least we're finally getting it now, and it's a side of Cena that we haven't seen before, but it's like a half-assed heel turn, right? I don't even think his heart is into it. You could just tell when he's out there. You know what I mean? Like, these are characters on television who are playing a part. We know that. We don't have to be beaten over the head with it. But for some people, it's more obvious than others. Some people wear it well. Other people don't. And it just looks like they're out there playing a part. And that's how I feel about John Cena when I see him on TV now. That is when we actually see him on TV, which is my other point. Now, I know they had a very quick turnaround on this match, and Cena's a busy guy. I get it. They have him for a certain number of dates. But when Cena wrestles, whether it's a television show or a PLE, it's important to get him on the fucking show at least once before the match that you're promoting. Whether they get physical, whether it's a contract signing, whether it's a face-to-face like we had with him and Cody in the lead-up to their match at WrestleMania. We had it with Cena and Orton on SmackDown before Backlash. You get him on TV at least once. He needed to be on this show tonight. And if you want to have, you know, no physicality and just have them go back and forth, that's fine. But I suspect that maybe they're going to do something like that on Saturday night's main event. And maybe that's why they didn't do it tonight. But I just think that's lame. So they send Truth out there to cut all these promos, and he's got nobody to play off of. And to me, it just falls flat. So that's how I felt about this segment. It's through no fault of his own. This is the, you know, position they put him in. It's not his fault. But I think that sucks. Now, in another Money in the Bank qualifying match, we had LA Knight, we had Aleister Black, and we had Shinsuke Nakamura, or as, of course, some people refer to him, Pinsuke Nakamura was back tonight. That was the only reason that he was in this match, was to eat the pin. And the only question was, who would be the one covering him for the win? Would it be LA Knight, or would it be Aleister Black? That was legitimately the only question here, because there was zero chance that Nakamura was going to win this match. And I am still stunned that I will occasionally, when I see Nakamura on TV, I will occasionally, you know, I'll peer into the live chat to see what people are, you know, talking about. And they'll talk about Nakamura and how, man, you know, they really need to do more with him. You know, or they want to see the old Nakamura, you know, before all is said and done. Maybe this could be it. Like, no. Shinsuke, like the Shinsuke Nakamura that people, I think, still idealize and still look at, you know, seeing when they imagine the Shinsuke Nakamura of old, that guy is dead. He doesn't exist anymore. He's gone. He's done. Right? It like that person hasn't been here for a long time. That was a certain period of time and a certain style that he worked in a place far, far away. And in WWE, he knows what he needs to do and what's expected of him. And he goes out there and he does it, and that's it. And he goes home. And he gets paid very well to do it. There's a reason why he's re-signed with them multiple times. And they see the value in that because they keep bringing him back. When they release all these other people, he stays around. They see the value in him doing that tonight. They see the value in having somebody like him who could do the job for the other people that they're actually pushing. And that's it. And that's all it's ever going to be. So anybody holding on to that sliver of hope that they're going to see the Shinsuke Nakamura of old, who used to come out with those grand entrances at the Tokyo Dome and have these classic matches with all these big names, like, that guy doesn't exist anymore. You know, he hasn't for a very long time. I'm not even saying that deep down he doesn't still have a few great ones left in him, but that's just not the role that WWE sees him in. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Occasionally they'll loan him out to like Noah or something to do a match there, and you might see shades of the old Nakamura, but like, you got to give it up. That guy's not coming back. So Nakamura was quickly dispatched to the floor as the match began. Black and Knight, they went at it as the crowd chanted, "We want tables." I see. Well, we know what the crowd wants. After a break, Black had the upper hand on Nakamura. He landed a springboard moonsault. Knight, though, broke up the pin attempt. Knight lifted Black, and the two of them attempted their finishers on each other, but each man countered. Knight dropped Black, and Nakamura dragged Knight out to the floor, where he ran him into the ring steps. Aleister and Nakamura, they went head-to-head, and they traded some strikes, and LA Knight returned. He threw Nakamura outside. From there, Black threw Knight outside, and twice he went for some high-risk moves, dives, out to the floor. Neither Nakamura nor LA Knight caught him. You know what did catch him? The ground. There was a cannonball dive that Aleister did out over the top rope, and his hip took all the brunt of that. I mean, he smacked the ground outside. That did not look like it would have been fun to take. So Black rolled Knight back into the ring. Knight, though, caught him with a DDT. Knight followed up with a leaping elbow, but Nakamura reinserted himself with a knee right to the skull. Nakamura covered LA Knight. Knight, though, grabbed the bottom rope to break the pin. Nakamura ran Black into the post and fired up, but instead he ran into Black Mass. I think he was setting up for the Kinshasa, but he ran into Black Mass, which lights out, right? You think, okay, Aleister Black's got this one in the bag, except LA Knight grabs Aleister Black and he throws him out of the ring and he steals the pin on Shinsuke Nakamura. Call him Pinsuke. LA Knight qualifies for Money in the Bank. And I see what they were doing there, you know, keeping Aleister strong. He hits his finish. He's got the match won. Only because the other guy threw him out of the ring and stole the pin. He lost, but he didn't take the direct pin. And the only reason he lost is because the other guy realized he had the match won. And so that's their way. Because I thought maybe Miz and Carmelo Hayes would come out and cause a distraction, but they never did. You know, and they certainly could have, because these types of matches here are no disqualification. I'm not going to complain about not getting interference, because Triple H, you know, he gives us plenty of fucking interference in almost every match. So it just surprised me, because I thought they would make an appearance here. So LA Knight, instead, he steals the pin. Let's be honest here, okay? LA Knight, he needed this a hell of a lot more than Aleister Black. Aleister Black just redebuted on this show. And he already has a few wins to his name. He didn't win this match here. LA Knight, though, has lost and lost and lost. And the fans, they're still sticking with him, but for how much longer? Because you can only lose so many times before you lose faith and favor with the fans. And that's something you don't want. This was a must win. Just like the Knicks tonight. This was a must win. And they choked. And they lost. And they're now going to lose. And that's something they now have to face themselves in the offseason. They'll have to figure out what went wrong and make changes. But for LA Knight, he can't afford to keep losing big matches like this. Now, I don't know if he's going to win Money in the Bank. He should be one of the favorites to win. We don't even know everybody who's in the fucking match yet. He should be one of the favorites. But at the very least, he had to qualify to go to the PLE. And I said last week, and I still feel this way. Now, if he wins Money in the Bank, then obviously that'll be a big help. But I still feel the same way. He needs to leave SmackDown as soon as possible and be moved over to Monday Night Raw. He just needs a change of scenery. You know, he's like a sports player who stays with one team for too long. And maybe he's not even playing all that great. You know, he's not really in the mix in the way that he used to be. But he gets traded to a new city and all of a sudden it reinvigorates him. And now he's, you know, back in top form. I see a ceiling for him on this show. Nothing is going to change anytime soon. So he needs to be moved. And I hope that happens. It would be even better if he won Money in the Bank. But again, we don't even know most of the names that are in this match. The only names we know of that have qualified so far on the men's side for Money in the Bank are LA Knight and Solo Sikoa, which is like a third hour match on SmackDown that probably won't even get much of a reaction. That's all we know so far. Now look at who we know in the women's match so far. We got Rhea, we got Alexa, we got Julia, right? We got all these names. So the men's side is really lacking. They haven't even done any Money in the Bank qualifiers for the men on Raw yet. Those are going to be starting this Monday. Now, what we do know is that Jacob Fatu is going to be in the final men's qualifier, which they'll be doing on the show next week, which makes things interesting, given that Solo Sikoa has already qualified for Money in the Bank. Now, in the back later, Nick Aldis informed Fatu, Solo, and JC Mateo that Fatu would be in the final triple threat qualifier next week for Money in the Bank. And Solo acted happy for Fatu, even though it was clear he really wasn't. It looked like he was having an existential crisis here as he's pondering what he was just informed. And he said, oh, no, this is great. This is great because this means that one of us is going to win. Either you're going to win Money in the Bank or I'm going to win Money in the Bank. Now, Solo's already in. Jacob first has to qualify. And the men that he's going to be in the ring with next week, it's going to be Jacob Fatu, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes. The winner of that match will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Fatu should qualify. Because that way, again, they have an interesting story now within the Money in the Bank match that they could play out. Because you'll have Solo and Jacob in the same match. And of course, Solo is going to want to work together. At some point, there'll be a breakdown. What happens at that point? You know, Mateo gets involved. Does he try to help Solo? Does he prevent Jacob from winning? You know, there's the potential here for a lot of drama, you know, where the Bloodline story is concerned. They may go a different way with it and have that drama play out next week, and that's what costs Jacob. And then Carmelo Hayes qualifies, and he goes on to Money in the Bank, and I'm kind of torn on this because even though I would rather see Jacob win and add a little bit of drama to Money in the Bank, Carmelo Hayes, I just talked about LA Knight. Carmelo Hayes is another one of those guys. At what point does he start winning big matches? He really needs to win that match next week. I mean, Jacob doesn't need to. Jacob's the U.S. champ. Jacob's a made guy. Jacob goes out there every week, and he's dominant, and the fans are chanting his name. Like, he's a rock star. Carmelo Hayes needs all the help he can get. So I'm torn. You know, I know he needs it more. I'd still rather see Jacob qualify. You'll notice I'm not even mentioning Andrade here. Andrade is going to be basically in the Shinsuke Nakamura role next week. Maybe we'll see Andrade at Worlds Collide. I don't think we'll see him at Money in the Bank. So I'm torn, but I just think the potential for a more interesting match is there if Jacob and Solo are both in the match. But we'll see next week if he even qualifies to begin with. We got a video package for Bianca Belair. She said that the past 6 months have been some of the most challenging and frustrating of her career. She lost friendships and her first match at WrestleMania. She said sometimes she wants to give up, but she can't let those things define her. She said that she'll get through it because she's healing her fingers and here's to a new beginning. She said the only consistent thing in life is change and the best is yet to come. She makes her return to SmackDown next week because SmackDown is in Knoxville, Tennessee. She's a Knoxville girl. That's where she's from. So, of course, you got to have her on the show. John Cena will also be on the show. How about that? He'll be making an appearance on the show next week. How nice of him to join us. And the main event of the show was for the WWE Tag Team Championship. It was the Street Profits defending their titles against Fraxium. Fraxium has new entrance music, and I believe that Def Rebel should be classified by the government as a terrorist organization. Things broke down early. Frazier and Axiom, they hit a series of dives onto the Profits on the outs. I mean, it was dive central. I think even Joe Tessitore made a comment like that. It's like Dive City or Dive Central. Dive, dive, dive. And then we went to commercial. Now, the crowd was quiet for a good portion of this match. About 10 minutes into this, Frazier tagged in, as did Montez Ford. Frazier ran the ropes. He landed a running shooting star press. And with Frazier on the apron, he stumbled at first, but then he landed a springboard missile dropkick for a two count. Dawkins tagged in, and at that point, the Profits took control back. When the show returned, Montez was working over Axiom, who fired up and hit Ford with some chops and kicks. Axiom went for a rear naked choke. Frazier ran in, though, and worked a choke on Dawkins, who threw Frazier into Axiom, or onto Axiom, to break everything up. Now all four men were down. And so now with Montez Ford on top, Frazier ran the ropes. He hit a superplex with a roll through, picked him up in position for a suplex. Axiom tagged himself in. And so while Frazier is holding Ford up in the air upside down, Axiom kicks him in the head. Then they drop him. Frazier ran at Dawkins, though, after he made a comeback. Or I should say that came later. But Frazier ran at Dawkins on the outside. Dawkins cut him off with a right hand. Ford tagged in, hence the comeback. Or he tagged in Dawkins. Dawkins put Axiom on his shoulders. They did their top rope blockbuster. Pin attempt got broken up. Now the fans were getting into it. I said they were quiet early on, but now they were starting to really get into this. Dawkins went to the top. Axiom cut him off and delivered a top rope Spanish fly. Frazier tagged in as well. Hit the Phoenix Splash. Landed it flush. Ford, though, got back into the ring from the outside. And he broke this up in a most unique way. He stepped on Nathan Frazier, which I guess the contact constitutes, a pin break, I guess. He really just, it wasn't even like he attacked him to break up the pin and then went after Axiom. He stepped on him to propel himself over him because Axiom was over there, but then Axiom catches him with a kick. So now everybody is down, but I guess that counts as breaking up the pin. Here comes DIY with Candice LeRae. Here come the Motor City Machine Guns as well to fight off DIY. Montez Ford lands his trademark dive out over the ring post and onto both teams. Everybody is down. Back in the ring, Frazier missed another Phoenix Splash attempt on Dawkins. He rolled through, and Dawkins caught him with a spine buster. And he's hollering for Montez. He's calling, Tez, Tez. He's calling for him to get back in the ring and go up top for the frog splash. And there's no Montez Ford. So the camera cuts over to the pile of bodies on the outside, and he's still laying there, but then he quickly gets up, and he scurries to the apron. He heads up top for the splash, and then the lights go out. Lights go out, and when the lights come back on, we also heard the Wyatt Six sound effects. So you knew right away who it was. That kind of killed the mystery, honestly. Like, usually when the lights go out, you're wondering, oh, who's going to be there? When you heard the sound effects, though, like the buzzing, like the buzzer or whatever it is, it's like, okay, we know who it is. So the lights come back on. All the members of the Wyatt Six are in the ring. We see Uncle Howdy, and we see Dexter Loomis, and we have Eric Rowan, and we have Joe Gacy, and we have Nikki Bella. We have Nikki I'm just trying to picture Nikki Bella now in the Wyatt Six. That really doesn't work. It was Nikki Cross, but now I'm just trying to like picture Nikki Bella in the ring as part of the Wyatt Six, and it just doesn't work. So Nikki Cross is in the ring. Oh man. They're standing in the middle of the ring. They take out everybody in sight. Uncle Howdy gave the mandible claw to Nathan Frazier. He delivered Sister Abigail to Johnny Gargano to a big pop. And then they all pose in the middle of the ring. And here's the photo I threw up earlier. This is what we saw here, the closing image here on SmackDown. The Wyatt Six in the middle of the ring with a birthday cake on the mat and a single lit candle, which Uncle Howdy blew out as the show ended. I don't know why they're targeting the tag team division. We'll wait until next week, I guess, to find out and see if they tell us. But this was quite the return here for the Wyatt Six. You know, the fans popped for it, and it was well received. They have not been seen for many months. The rumor was that, because we never knew for sure, but the rumor was that one of the members, and I presume it was Uncle Howdy, was out with an injury. And I don't understand why, if one person is out with an injury significant enough that they're going to be gone for that length of time, you don't just rework the story to find a way to get the other people on TV. Like, they benched an entire group. They benched an entire faction that was first really starting to build momentum. I don't understand that. Unless multiple members were injured, if it's just one person, even if it was Uncle Howdy, who's like, you know, the ringleader, I really don't know why you would put the entire group on ice like that. Because whatever momentum they built up, they just completely killed it off. Now, of course, tonight people were excited to see them back, but these reactions are going to lessen week by week unless they have something really good for them to sink their teeth into. So that's what we'll have to wait to see. If they're going to be going after the tag team titles, okay. Well, what does that mean for Uncle Howdy? You know, let's say Dexter Loomis and Joe Gacy are going after the tag team titles. Are they going to have Rowan or Howdy and Nikki Cross doing other things on the show? You know, Nikki may be going after the women's U.S. title, and Uncle Howdy is going to be doing his own thing. That's what we have to wait and see. You know, collectively, are they just going to be one unit that sticks to one thing, one story at a time, or do they branch out and do different things? Which would be more interesting? One of the things I said, you know, the last time we saw the Wyatt Six was I would hope that they do a better job of humanizing them and maybe playing down some of the goofiness that we often see with these types of characters and gimmicks. And frankly, some of the goofiness that we saw even with Bray and some of the stuff that he was doing, you know, dumb it down a little bit and humanize them, which I felt like they were doing with those VHS tapes that we were getting for a while. They were doing a good job with that. it's almost all forgotten now. It just feels like a lifetime ago. I forgot half the shit they even did. So it's going to take some time to kind of build that back up. Hopefully it'll work. Yeah, I want to see all these guys succeed. You got Dexter Lumis out there who, my God, look at his career over the last 5 years. Where he was and where he is now, I want to see the guy succeed. They brought Eric Rowan back. I'd like to see him do well. I want to see them all do well. Comes down to creative. Ultimately, that's really what it comes down to. And if they can stay healthy. Because if somebody gets hurt again, then it's game over. So it was nice to see them back. And you know what? If they were going to bring them back on any particular day, bringing them back on Bray's birthday, that was special. Seeing the birthday cake in the ring with the candle, I mean, it made me sad. But I'm sure it was a nice moment for all of them to be a part of. So that was nice. Let's talk about this card for Saturday night's main event that is coming up tomorrow night on NBC. John Cena and R-Truth, non-title. This will be a win for John Cena. We have a steel cage match between Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, who says he's working hurt and cannot turn his head all the way to the left, which is very nice. So now he has a steel cage match tomorrow night that Damian Priest should win. Damian Priest lost at WrestleMania. Doesn't really do him a lot of good if he goes in there and gets, you know, busted up again by Drew and loses. So I'm going with Damian for the win. Drew can take a loss at this stage of his career better than Damian can. Just added, Zelina Vega will defend her United States Championship in a rematch against Chelsea Green. I think they're going to keep it on Zelina. I mean, they could do it. I could see a title change here. You know, if I'm right, and the plan would be to get the title on Julia soon, it's probably a better chance of Julia beating Chelsea for it than Zelina. But I'm going to stick with Zelina retaining. CM Punk and Sami Zayn, they're going to be taking on Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker. I don't know why you would beat Rollins and Breakker yet. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, so I'm going with them for the win. And in what I presume is going to be the main event, I mean, maybe the tag match could main event. I think the World Heavyweight Championship should main event. Given that John Cena is not defending his title, Jey Uso could get the main event. He defends against Logan Paul. Apparently, Jey has been in Puerto Rico with Logan at Logan's house rehearsing their match because Logan has a ring there. And all of his big matches, he has to rehearse them first. I'm sure all these guys would love to rehearse their matches. Logan has that luxury, so that's where they've been. They've been practicing their match. Jey Uso is going to retain his World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso is going to go on to Monday Night Raw on June 9th to defend against Gunther. There is a chance Logan Paul could still end up in that match. Maybe it ends up being a triple threat, but I don't know if that's something they're doing or not. I can only go by what I see here. We have a one-on-one match. Logan Paul is not winning this match. And that's your card for Saturday night's main event. And now let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See what you guys thought of SmackDown tonight before Saturday night's main event. 61.4% thumbs up, 21.1% thumbs in the middle, 17.6% thumbs down. So that is the score so far for SmackDown. At Solomonster on Twitter, go give me a follow and you can vote on there in all of the polls. That is the place to go. Let's take a look at your many super chats that have poured in here. And hit that like button as well. We are currently sitting at 340 likes, so we're 60 away. We need at least 60 to do Be the Booker tonight, because I didn't have a like even a bonus goal. So if we hit 400 likes, we will do Be the Booker. If not, I'm going to be very disappointed in you. You're going to let me down. Don't let me down. Hey, Zachary Black, let's go all the way back to Zach Black. He sent in the first super chat, which you will not be seeing. The pre-stream ones do not show on screen. We'll get to those in a minute. But Zachary with the 25, hello, Solo. I won't be able to chat as we are working on a very big job tonight. I hope we get to see more of Alexa Bliss from here on out. Alexa does not need the win, but who would you say would you pick, or I guess he says be your favorite for Money in the Bank? Well, we don't know all of the women yet that are in Money in the Bank. We know four out of the six. I think if Naomi gets in, Naomi would probably be the favorite. I do. I think Naomi would be the favorite if she gets in, so I would go with her. Dry Chicken says, I said it before and I will say it again. 2024, Rock and Cody Rhodes equals pro wrestling is cool. 2025, Triple H and John Cena ruin pro wrestling. That's the story. Holiday 197 says, thoughts on the speculation that WrestleMania is returning to Vegas because they made a lot of money from WrestleMania 41. Sucks for New Orleans and WrestleCon, who signed a contract for a New Orleans venue. Yeah, everybody gets fucked, but they don't care. That's not their concern. Their concern is their bottom line. TKO wants to make as much money as possible, and that's what they're going to do. I think it's embarrassing when you have your biggest star go out on live television in New Orleans to announce that their city is getting WrestleMania, and everybody cheers and everybody's excited. Like, this was on live television that The Rock went out there to announce this. And then you say, psych, psych. That's embarrassing. Terrible Dry Chicken, John Cena versus R-Truth. Fuck it. R-Truth wins via DQ. Cena is going to kick R-Truth in the nuts, give him an AA on a table again, and then leave. Oh, so you're saying you think he may win via DQ because he kicks him in the balls. That's possible. That's the only way R-Truth should be winning this match. Otherwise, the idea of R-Truth winning this match is just a fucking embarrassment. The only way R-Truth wins the match is for the exact reason that you just mentioned, and that's for getting kicked in the dick. That's about it. Once this is over, we need to move past this as quickly as possible. Brock Lesnar, he says, with the new long hairstyle, he wants to be like Fabio. He's really enjoying retirement. I saw that photo, you know, Sable is looking pretty good these days. I haven't seen a recent photo of her in a very long time. Joseph Stewart, happy heavenly birthday, Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt. I'm happy that Bo Dallas and the Wyatt Six are back. He also says, with the Wyatt Six back, what direction do you think the Wyatt Six will go? I think we know the direction they're going in, if you watch the end of SmackDown tonight. What is your favorite Ahmed Johnson match? Is that a trick question? My favorite Ahmed Johnson match? I don't have a favorite Ahmed Johnson match. I have a most memorable Ahmed Johnson match, which is the match at the King of the Ring in 96 where he beat Goldust to win the Intercontinental title, because if you remember the very beginning of that match, we talk about dives, right? And how today everybody dives. This was 1996, and this was a 300-pound man who had no business diving, and I don't recall him ever diving before. And he did a dive out of the ring that I don't know how he didn't kill himself or kill somebody else. And it wasn't even like the dives that you see now. It was like a Montez Ford dive. I'm pretty sure it was at the very beginning of the match. He ran towards the corner. He dove out of the ring onto Goldust like I had never seen anything like that before. For a guy that got injured constantly, I cannot believe he didn't get hurt on that dive. He's a big guy. He's a big muscled up guy. So I'll just go with that. But that's in terms of singles matches. If you want to expand that out to like tag matches and trios and stuff like that, I think I mentioned this match recently, the Chicago Street Fight at WrestleMania 13. That was the second best match on that show. It's him and LOD against the Nation of Domination. So I that would probably be the match, but in terms of singles matches, I can't give you much more than what I just said. And Joseph says, I'm watching Batman 89 right now. It's my Friday night movie night. Batman 89, that was a great one. It's my second favorite Batman. After The Dark Knight is the first Keaton one. With Jack Nicholson, baby. Havili! Now we're up to the super chats on the screen. What's going on, Havili? Ahmed allegedly had fake biceps, according to The Godfather. Yeah, there were a lot of rumors that he had fake... I thought it was like fake calf muscles, like calf implants. Maybe it was biceps too. I wouldn't be surprised. He had a very weird physique. Havili says, what's up, Solo Monster? Shout out from Brisbane, Australia. It is the 20-year anniversary of John Cena releasing his You Can't See Me album. What did you think of it? Did you buy it and have favorite songs off of it? I did not buy it, but I do remember listening to some of the songs on it, and some of them I enjoyed. I had one that I really thought was pretty good. I forgot the name of it now. I don't think he ever used it on TV, but there was one song that I thought was really catchy that I enjoyed. But did I run out and buy the album? No, I had other things to spend my money on than John Cena albums. Joseph says, what is your favorite scene in Batman 89? Man, it still bothers me that, Bob got killed. Poor Bob. I don't know, probably the one where, everybody is on like the laughing gas, like the newscasters and everything, and they all get those smiles, and maybe that one. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in so long. I don't remember every scene. I just remember liking the movie a lot. EJ Slemp, we decided Detroit this year, Milwaukee next. Still going June 7th for the Chorio jersey. I have no idea what you're talking about. Asking my friend, soon to be girlfriend, to join me. First date, maybe. Well, that's awesome. I don't know what you're talking about, but I wish you luck with her. I hope it all works out. You know, I think they made an action figure for Bob, and I had it. I'm pretty sure I had the Bob action figure. Bob was the henchman for the Joker in that first Tim Burton Batman movie. Alex Moreno, I'm going to miss Tongaloa Superfan making appearances on your streams once Tongaloa returns. Well, I mean, it's going to be kind of hard for Tongaloa to appear on the streams if he's back on TV. Trill Mexican 305, I just got home from the movies. I saw Final Destination Bloodlines. No Roman Reigns in the movie, but the notification came on and Back to Love is the song that's on. So thanks for that, Solomonster. You're very welcome. You know, you don't want to burn out the song, but you want to try to use it once a week at least. And I sit here and I'm getting ready and everything and the song is playing, I'm just jamming out to it. Just a great tune. Aussie of Steel renewing his membership. 33 months. Sorry, but I'm not as excited about this Wyatt 6 return as everybody else. I don't have faith that it will work out long term. Long term, it's not going to work out. But I'm going to enjoy it, you know, for the time it lasts, if they can give us something good. It's not a long term gimmick. You know, the Wyatt 6 is not going to be a thing in 3 years. I'm sorry, it's not. It's not meant to be it's not meant to be like the Bloodline, which went on for 5 years before it peaked. Actually, it peaked before that, but we won't get into that. Justin G, say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Gacy. Ironic, he said he doesn't have faith, and the song called Keep Faith is on. That's right. It's playing in the background. Sidro, me, two daughter. Go to bed. The cows are sleeping in the field. Daughter, what's that got to do with anything? Me, that means it's pasture bedtime. Get out. Also visited the thrift shop and picked up an old record album called Sound of Wasps. When I got home and played it, I realized it didn't sound anything like Wasps. Turned out I'd been playing the B-side. Thank you, Sidro. Havili, rest in peace and happy birthday to Bray Wyatt. What is the possibility of Roman versus Cena happening this year? Very low. I don't have any interest in seeing that. I saw it at SummerSlam 4 years ago. It wasn't that good then. When the Gorillas of Destiny return, do you see them siding with Solo or Jacob? Good question. A lot of it depends on whether or not Jacob is just going to break away completely from the bloodline, or he's going to lead another new version of the bloodline. I don't know what their plans are. I think they'll be with Solo. Wyatt's return. Are we finally going to get Alexa joining them? I suspect we will, yes. Maybe not right away because she's doing stuff with Charlotte, but I do think Alexa will end up with the Wyatt Six in some way. Rob, 2 months of channel membership. What will happen first? 2 hours SmackDowns or the release of GTA 6? The release of GTA 6. Sidro, breaking news. Man was admitted to a hospital today with 25 plastic toy horses inserted in his rectum. Doctor has described his condition as stable. What do you call a laughing motorcycle? A Yamaha. Jeez. Lord. Duff's vids, no jokes. Sayings that may or may not make your brain itch, LOL. You ever realize we cut down birdhouses to make birdhouses? No, I never did, actually. I see the tomatoes are out in the chat, deservedly so. The Juliet says we are at 385 likes. Well, we're still down. We're down by 15. Sidro says, what do you call an elephant that don't matter? Irrelevant. Okay, that may be the worst one you've ever had. Like, legitimately, that might be the worst one. An irrelevant, he says. Like, that should be a misdemeanor crime, what you just did. Irenzo, give John that ultimate heat on Saturday and have John beat the ever-loving dog piss out of Truth and little Jimmy while he's at it. Right in front of him. It is NBC. They will only let the abuse go so far. I mean, they wouldn't even show Kevin Owens' package pile driver on Cody Rhodes on the first Saturday night's main event. They had to wait until they went off the air. Alexander, it would bring me great joy if Charlotte jobbed out. Well, you got your wish. She jobbed out tonight. Duff's vids, when you put ice cubes in water, they're floating in a cup of their own blood. It's very morbid. That's very morbid. Isaiah, enjoying Solomonster's steam and playing 2K25. My steam. Are you bathing in the steam of Solomonster? Or do you mean stream? having a really, I mean, you could, I won't, I was going to say something, having a really fun tag team match between Omega and Ospreay against Rollins and Takeshita in 2K25. I mean, that actually sounds like a fucking amazing match. Havili is back. I know everyone loves four classic matches of The Undertaker with Triple H and HBK, but there was a rumored match. There was rumor match had would had happened. So what was these you like to see me? Wait, I think I just had a stroke. So what was these you like to see WrestleMania 26 against Drew, WrestleMania 27 against Barrett, or Abyss, Barrett or Abyss, or WrestleMania 22 against Kurt Angle? I never heard any rumor about him wrestling Wade Barrett at WrestleMania 27. The Abyss rumor was, that was years before. I mean, that was, I think the WrestleMania where he wrestled Mark Henry in the casket match, that was WrestleMania 22. There was talk of bringing Abyss in, and then he backed out. He got cold feet. Because we could have gotten Abyss. Now, think about that. I don't know if that would have been his debut. I think the idea was he debuts in the Rumble that year and then wrestles Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I wonder what that would have meant for the streak. I mean, I imagine Undertaker would have beaten him, but I don't know. You know, how history may have been different. But anyway, of the matches that you've mentioned, you know, Angle at WrestleMania 22 would have been great, but Angle was probably going to win. Maybe that's why they decided to do it at No Way Out. They didn't want to end the streak. But that match they had at No Way Out that year in 06. Well, funny enough, that was right around the time that the Abyss program was pitched. But that was a WrestleMania caliber match. I mean, that was an incredible match that those two had. Ryan Awesome, hey Solo, today a book fell on my head. I have only my shelf to blame. You do. Duff's Vids, one joke from the 1800s. When you put your head between your legs, what planet do you see? Uranus. That's from the 1800s. I mean, that joke is timeless. I mean, people were probably telling that joke in the year fucking 500. That was how they entertained themselves back then. Either that or they actually did stick their head between their legs. I mean, what else was there to do back then? Sidro, most pessimistic animal, horses. They neigh too much. Duff's Vids, all national anthems are country music songs. I mean, that isn't the case with Canada, is it? Alexander, I like how no one acknowledged Damien and Drew were fighting for about an hour. Priest music playing in the arena was at 9 o'clock. Well, I said when they came out, they were still fighting. Tongaloa Superfan, they had an Iron Man match tonight. We just didn't see it. Tongaloa Superfan with the $10 super chat. So Tongaloa misses WrestleMania in Vegas, and WWE thought we have to run it back for fans to see Tongaloa perform in Vegas. Tongaloa, WrestleMania, Vegas. It doesn't get bigger than that. You know, of all the websites that were reporting on this story this week, none of them had the scoop, but Tongaloa Superfan had the scoop. This is why. This explains so much. It can't just be Wayne Newton performing in Las Vegas. We have to have Tongaloa perform in Las Vegas at least once. Maybe next year it'll be the roast of Tongaloa after WrestleMania. Havili with another super chat. Favorites, classic Survivor Series elimination tag team match, not counting Raw versus SmackDown. There were a bunch that I liked. You know what I enjoyed? I'm not going to say it's my favorite, but I actually enjoyed the one year in 95 where they did the wild card match. And they had a mix of heels and faces against each other. But one of my favorites is from Survivor Series 1990. It was actually the one where The Undertaker debuted. It came down to Bret and DiBiase in that match. I really like that one. There were some that I liked from 89. I don't remember what they were off the top of my head. You know what I miss? I mean, not just the elimination matches, but like they would come up with like a cool name for the teams. The Vipers and the Visionaries. Of course, if it was Tony Soprano, it would be the Wipers, the Wipers. But they had the Vipers and the Visionaries, and they had all kinds of other names that the team captain would come up with. I missed that. It was unique. And thoughts on WrestleMania going to London or back to well, it's not going to London yet. I'll talk more about that story on the Sound Off on Sunday. I got more to say about that, but they're not going to London next year. Alexander Damian saying it's WEPA time for a super chat clip. You know what? Okay. That could be something here. Leave myself a little note. I'll consider it. Koji the Antagonist with a 1992. Koji, thank you. Having lost my mom recently, I don't know how you've been able to carry this tremendous weight since 2018. I don't know how I'll continue, but I know that you make your mother proud every day. Well, Koji, I'm very sorry to hear about your loss. It's I think outside of if you have a child, you know, losing a child, yeah, like losing your mom is just one of the worst things, you know. I know some people aren't close with their parents. I mean, it's different for every person, but it's a terrible pain that doesn't ever fully go away, you know. It kind of gets easier with time, but I'd be lying to you if I said, oh, you know, give it time, you'll just get over it. So I'm not going to lie to you, but I know what that's like. And it sucks. But it is the sort of thing where you just have to give it time. Like, I don't know what kind of relationship you had with your mom. Hopefully it was a good one. Hopefully you have, you know, a lot of memories and photos or home movies or, you know, whatever you may have. Yeah, I find comfort in that because I have a ton of stuff like that. I had her on the podcast many years ago, you know, which is still the favorite episode of mine when people ask me, like, oh, do you have a favorite sound off? And so many of them just kind of run together. You do so many, but, you know, that one still stands out to me. So I'm very sorry for your loss. You know, you have a community of people here you could always hang out with and talk to. But I'm very sorry about that. Duff's Vids. Since the Earth is the third planet from the sun, doesn't that make every country a third world country? You know, I hate to say it, but he's kind of got a point. Can't disagree. Aaron, Jacob will leave and Tongaloa will be the third man. Well, there you go. Tongaloa superfan is going to be very happy to hear that. Retro KOH, my wife, baby, and I just recovered from COVID. I avoided it for over 5 years. Everyone's okay and home, and I'm back to see you all. Well, I'm glad you're on the mend. I'm glad you're feeling better. You know, the last time I had it, it really beat the shit out of me. I'm not looking forward to that again. Dark Effect. I've not enjoyed any of Cena's 16 other title reigns. This one appears to be no different. However, what I do enjoy is this Super Chat. Cheers to everyone here tonight and enjoy your weekends. I enjoy the Mentos Super Chat as well. It's probably one of my top three. Havili. If Brock Lesnar did not end Undertaker's undefeated streak of WrestleMania, who would it have been? Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles, or does he retire undefeated? I mean, I wouldn't have broken the streak. But if it was going to be broken, then it shouldn't have been AJ Styles. Roman Reigns would have made sense given, you know, what they had in store for him. They knew he was going to be a big star. That would have been a big feather in his cap. Bray Wyatt is someone who would have benefited from that. But AJ Styles, no. AJ didn't need it. You know who Undertaker wanted it to be? Edge. WrestleMania 24, I think. And Edge was like, yeah, we're not doing that. I'm not breaking the streak. Even he knew it was a dumb idea. Aaron Tucker. What is Nakamura's favorite sushi? A pin roll. Very good. Brandon Proctor, 3 years of channel membership. Wyatt 6 being back makes me hope they actually have something for them this time. They had something for them last time. Somebody got hurt and then they just took them off TV. I hope they can stay healthy. If they stay healthy, then we'll see what they have in store for them. But if somebody gets hurt again, what are they going to do? Take them off TV again? Just take all of them off? I mean, at that point, if you're just going to do that, why even keep them around? Nick Grasso with the 1999. The Dark Side of the Ring episode on Daphne really broke me. I'm not ashamed to admit that I shed a few tears. I've been a big fan of hers since I first saw her in WCW when I was 13. It angered me when they said she got body shamed by losers. Yeah, it was a tough episode to watch. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do the review on it this weekend. I am going to get a review out for The Sheik, which was last week's show. But if I don't get to Daphne this weekend, then you'll definitely get that review next week. It's only one left. Muhammad Hassan is the season finale this Tuesday. Honestly, the Daphne episode should have been the season finale. They should have ended with that one. Havili. Stephanie Vaquer, Mariah May, or Tony. He wants to do a fuck, marry, kill. Which of these ladies should have been the NXT Women's Champion? Dakota Kai, Nia Jax, Alexa, Bianca, Candice, Carmella. Were none of them the NXT Women's Champion? I guess not. Yeah, I guess Bianca wasn't. Bianca Belair. On the first one, you know what? I would love to just go on a coffee date. How about that? And I don't even drink coffee. I'll just watch them drink coffee. Alex says, you said Bella. That's that $25 Brie mode. Thank you, Alex. Also, the Mets and Dodgers in the 13th inning currently. That was 36 minutes ago that he sent that. Is that game still ongoing? Nick Grasso says, with the Wyatts back, do they link up with Alexa or is that scrapped at this point? I think they'll link up at some point. I don't think that's going to go away, especially as long as they're on the same show. I'm sure that they're going to link up at some point. Big Hoss, did you see the guns going to WWE? I know one of them is dating Mariah, and that's a rumor. Isn't that the rumor? There's a rumor that Colton Gunn is dating Mariah. I don't know where that started. I don't know if that's legit. Don't really care. Just wanted to point that out. And they train at Breeze/Spears' school with Charlotte and WWE people. They're young enough. I do think they'll end up in WWE at some point. So, yes, I do think they'll end up there. The Mets lost 7-5. Well, that sounds about right. Let me guess. Juan Soto went 0-5. Duff's Vid says, why are deliveries on a ship called cargoes, but on a car, it's called a shipment? You know, Duff's is asking some very valid questions tonight. We're making some very valid points, I must say. I don't have an answer for you. I wonder that myself. Base beer is WrestleMania being held in parts unknown. You know, if Parts Unknown was willing to cut a check big enough for TKO, that's exactly where WrestleMania would be. The Juliet, Montez literally crossed himself seeing the white. Yes, he did. He did the sign of the cross. Because he was on the top rope getting ready to do a frog splash. Lights went out. Lights came back on. He saw the Wyatts. He did the sign of the cross. I didn't mention that. Duff's Viz, the youngest picture of you is also the oldest picture of you. He's on a roll tonight. Alexander, plot twist, WrestleMania venue changed to embarrass The Rock. I promise you that's not why it was changed. Base beer is tacos or burritos? Neither. Sorry. I'm not a tacos or a burritos guy. Tacos, nachos, burritos. Julia Hart fan with the $4.99. Day one of donating until the GOAT Julia Hart wins the AEW world title over Jon Moxley. Well, we're going to be getting a lot of donations, I could tell, from Julia Hart fan. Thank you, Julia Hart fan. You keep showing up. I'll be here live for Double or Nothing on Sunday night / Monday morning. Havili, if the Road Warriors did not leave WWE in 1992, who would they face at WrestleMania 9? The Steiners, the Head Shrinkers, or Money Inc. for the tag team titles? If those are the three choices, I think that we would probably have seen them against the Head Shrinkers. We saw them against Money Inc., right? Didn't we? At SummerSlam in 92. Probably the Head Shrinkers. They weren't going to do babyface against babyface. Julia Hart fan. Who's the best Hart? Julia, or Julia? Brett. Base beer is The Rock owes Austin Theory a Yeezy. He does. I heard that clip from Chris Van Vliet's show when he was on there. When Theory and Rock did that segment on SmackDown 2 years ago when Rock made his return. He took one of Theory's shoes, one of his very expensive sneakers, and threw them into the crowd. And he never got it back. Blue Jay, celebrating 2 months of channel membership. Number one, Homo sapiens. Solomonster is psychic. I thought that says Solomonster is psycho. Solomonster is psychic. Soto went 0-5 with a base on. So I was right. Unbelievable. Blue Jay says, attended the Electric Daisy Carnival at Vegas. Was great. We don't want to do WrestleMania anymore. It's sad. Rather spend our money elsewhere. I don't blame you. I mean, there's a lot of other things to do in Vegas than go to WrestleMania. You know, you can plan a trip around WrestleMania to be in town. There's other like ancillary events and things to do, but not actually go to WrestleMania. Some people do that too. Like you fly out there to attend some of the other events and enjoy all that Vegas has to offer, but don't actually spend thousands of dollars on tickets to go to WrestleMania. You could watch it from your hotel. Julia Hart fan, Alexa should end up with Julia Hart. Make it happen. end up with her in what way? What fantasy are you conjuring up? Maverick with the $9.99. What wrestlers have the coolest merch? I like the t-shirts that Raven has. What about you? I would say there's a certain bald Texan who had some pretty cool merch. Made a lot of money on it, too. I still have some of the original shirts of his that I bought many years ago. Julia Hart fan, Miz versus Cross, loser feuds with the Wyatt Six again. It's like a death sentence. Yeah, I just realized Miz is back on the same brand with the Wyatt Six. It followed him from Raw to SmackDown. Number one, Homo Sapien, what is the last thing that goes through a bug's mind as it hits your windshield? His butt. Right. That happened the other day. Saw a little bug on the window. He was crawling a little slowly. I don't know if it was a spider. Probably a spider. And he's like crawling up the windshield. He's almost out of the range of the wipers. And then the wipers go on. And then his little bug guts are all over the windshield. Anyway, Matt Fisher. Any chance that we can get 205 back? 205 live? No. Scum. What kind of motorcycle did Michael Jackson have? A Yamahihi. Yamahaha actually makes more sense. I got to give the edge to Sidro on that one. Thank you, Scum. Putting the monster in Solomonster. My boy Eminem, he believes in the monster. Let's stick to these. We'll go through these and we'll get to Eminem's here in a little bit. Eminem, thank you very much for the $150 bomb here on a Friday night. That's right. Now it's a party. We were pre-gaming before, but now it's a party. Let's go to the beach. It's time to hit the beach after that. Base Beerus. Kung Fu Naki, baby. Okay. We got Alex with a 5. He says, that's another be the... You know what? I'll tell you what. We got a bomb like that. We got to do 2 Be the Bookers tonight. When the big bombs start falling, that's deserving of a bonus round of Be the Booker. So you can thank Eminem for boosting us from 1 round to 2. Because we already passed 400 likes, but now we got to do 2 rounds. So that's what we're going to do. Alex says, are we seriously getting Logan Paul in a 6-man tag match with Travis Scott and John Cena? I mean, what are we doing here? That's the rumor. That's all it is right now, but there's a rumor going around that Money in the Bank could be John Cena, Travis Scott, and Logan Paul. Against, I would imagine, Cody Rhodes and the Usos. That's the other rumor, but that's all it is right now. That's all it is. We don't know yet. Julia Hart fan, Bianca teams with Becky to be the Hogan Express. Aaron, do you think the lack of reaction when Julia comes out will remain an issue? It also seems like either she is holding back or WWE told her to. Well, she's not going to go out. She just got called up. And she's not going to go out there in the ring with Charlotte Flair and beat the shit out of her. So I don't know what you were expecting. And dude, it's her first match on the show. Like, there are people watching the show who don't know who she is. I wouldn't worry. Like, it's going to be okay. I have faith that they will come around and she is going to be just fine. Havili, If Samoa Joe did not leave WWE, would he have joined the OG Bloodline or the New Bloodline? And who would you put in an all-women Bloodline if it ever happened? I wouldn't do an all-women Bloodline. Like, who would even make sense to be in there? Who would you have in there? You would have Tamina, and you would have Naomi. That's it. Now, otherwise, you're just throwing random people in there. It doesn't make any sense. I do believe if Samoa Joe was still around, he would have ended up involved in the Bloodline in some way, and that would have been great. And it's too bad that never happened. Base Beerus, people from Boston pronounce car keys as khakis. No, it's like you park the car. You go get your khakis. Yeah, kind of, I guess a little bit. Get the khakis. Park your car outside the bar. I do a terrible Boston accent. Paul Carpenter. 25 months of membership. What is it with the crowds? No excitement. Or is there a lack of sound or something? I don't know. Rest in peace, Bray is missed. Yeah, some of these crowds lately have been ass. And part of it, I think, is just that they haven't gotten the most exciting shows recently. Like, what do you expect some of these shows lately that we've gotten over the last few weeks since WrestleMania? Like, dude, I mean, what do you want these people to be doing? Like, jumping up and down? For what? What have they been given to even get excited about? But then there are other weeks where the show's not bad, and yeah, you can hear a pin drop. And I don't really understand it. There have been some terrible crowds. Zachary Black with that $30 Mentos super chat. I would love to see Naomi with that briefcase. She's got to be the favorite. If she qualifies next week, then I think she becomes the favorite to win Money in the Bank. And the one I would give it to. Eminem with the $150 super chat. The one that earned us a second round of Be the Booker. Just put us right over the top. If the Wyatt Six returns, then Solo Hendry has to make an appearance. Happy heavenly birthday to Bray Wyatt. And I also remember Over the Edge. We miss you, Owen. I know you didn't set a goal, but this super chat should unlock a double B2B on the rocks. Indeed it did. Thank you, Eminem. Much appreciated. And Duff's Vids. When a pregnant woman goes swimming, she becomes a human submarine. So saith Duff's Vids. It's getting chilly out here. All right, let's come in from the beach. Let's come in from the beach. My hands are getting all pruned. We're in the water for too long. Tonga Loa Superfan with a $20 super chat just came in. Solo, you may be shocked to hear this, but you are the world's leading podcast on Tonga Loa. No other wrestling podcast is talking about Tonga Loa as much as you do. Gee, I wonder why that is. You are the leading source on all things Tonga Loa. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. But I mean, somebody's got to do it, I guess. So I'll happily take that mantle. Okay. Thank you, Tonga Loa Superfan. Now, you're my key source. You got to keep me plugged into what's going on with Tonga Loa. Julia Hart fan. I don't think it'll be okay. Julia overshadowed by Vicare. Move shows, no reaction. It usually is best at the start, but it's a Zelina Vega reaction. Besides Jordan... the Jordan match, what has she done to get over? She did pretty well for herself in NXT. Even beyond just the Jordan match. I mean, she had some pretty... I mean, there was a four-way at Vengeance Day that I think she was in. There was the match at the theater at Madison Square Garden at Roadblock that she and Stephanie had. So, in ring, she's already had some great matches. And she was getting star reactions in NXT. SmackDown now is brand new for her, and there'll be, you know, a bit of a learning curve there. You know, she's going to be playing to bigger crowds now. In some cases, people who don't know who she is. Her English is not great. It's improving. It's getting better. But promos are not going to be her strong suit. And people said the same thing, honestly, about Io Sky and others as well. But I remember people saying that about Io Sky as well. And you see how over Io is. Io's been around now for several years. For whatever reason, over the last year, people just connected with her in a way that they hadn't before. And she's just organically, naturally over. And it's not like she's out there cutting prompt. She's going out there and she just has this natural physical charisma about her. And she's a great fucking wrestler. And so if Julia can tap into that, you know, even if the language, you know, becomes an obstacle for her on the main roster in a way that it, maybe it isn't for most other people, I still think that she will be the superstar that people think that she can be. I'm not worried. The woman just debuted. I'm not worried. I don't know why this is a thing. I really don't. And also, like, you're pointing out the fact that she got no reaction coming out tonight. This was a crowd. I mean, I've gotten multiple super chats about it now. A crowd that was mostly dead for a lot of things on this show. It's not like people were going crazy and making noise for everything, and then Julia came out and, you know, everything just kind of died. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I will agree with one point, though. You know, her and Stephanie came in around the same time, and I do think Stephanie overshadowed her. I think Stephanie got over in a way that she didn't and did overshadow her, and maybe that hurt her a little bit. But I think all the more reason why I think when Stephanie gets called up, she should be on Raw. I would not have Stephanie on the same show with Julia. Because then you run into potentially the same issue. You got Julia on SmackDown. I think Stephanie is going to lose that championship this weekend. And I think she'll be up on the main roster very soon. I would have her on Monday Night Raw. Alexander with a $4.99 says, Naomi should cash in her Money in the Bank briefcase when she wins, dressed as Cyrax from Mortal Kombat. Huh. Base Beerus says, chicken tenders or tender chicken? Chicken tenders. Actually, well, you know what? Yeah, chicken tenders. And Base Beerus, we used to have Buried Alive matches on SmackDown. Judging by the way certain people are booked, I would argue we still do. Be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Keep Stephanie Vicaire away from Dominic Mysterio. It's only a matter of time. Now, the ladies apparently cannot resist Dom. She will fall at his feet just like all the others have done. This is round one of two that we are doing here of Be the Booker. Consider it our SummerSlam night one and night two. So we begin here with tag team Be the Booker. Let us see what we have in store for tonight. We have the Guns. Somebody mentioned, that's not the Guns. What the fuck is wrong with me? That's Bullet Club Gold or whatever the hell they call themselves now. The Bang Bang Gang. Juice Robinson and Switchblade Jay White. They had the guns up. That's what it is. That's why I had the guns on the brain. Oh, man. All right. So we have Bullet Club Gold against Strikeforce. Tito Santana and Rick Martel. Wow. How about that, man? Tito and Rick in the ring with Jay White. It's a great tag team match right there. Great fundamentals. I like that very much. All right, we need a women's match on the card. Just like WWE did tomorrow night. That's why they added one, finally. hardcore country, Mickey James, formerly of LFG, but no longer in season two because The Undertaker said, "That don't work for me, brother." And now Michelle McCool is going to be on LFG season two, and Mickey James will not be. But she's here with us tonight and be the booker. Yes, sirree. And it will be Mickey James against Asuka. I like where this is headed. This is a pretty good card so far. I like it. I like it indeed. But we need a main event to cap things off here. So let's see what we can come up with. We begin with, we go from the Bang Bang Gang to the Bang Bang Man. We have Cactus Jack doing the Bang Bang pose. Cactus Jack is going to be in the main event tonight, which means he's going to do something very stupid and very dangerous. He's going to jump off something or land on something. Cactus Jack against Randy Orton. It is a Backlash rematch. Backlash 2004. 21 years later. Cactus Jack and Randy Orton, a Backlash rematch. We have ourselves a clean sweep here in Be the Booker. Don't you love it? Don't you love to see it? That's awesome. And now we move on to round two. Thanks to our boy Eminem. What version of Randy is this? The version in the image. I think that was 2012 or 2013. Actually, no, I think that was what you saw there in that image, I think was 2014. Like authority era Randy Orton. All right, let's pick a step. Tony Khan's dream match. There he is with all of his toys. That's a lot of toys. I think I see some LJNs in there. All right, well, Tony, he's playing with his toys. He's mixing, he's matching, he's doing all this stuff. Tony is going to book a dream women's match. That is what Tony is going to do. Tony Khan is going to book a dream women's match. Let us see what he comes up with. Raquel Rodriguez. I don't think that that was one of the toys that Tony was playing with. I'm just going to venture a guess. Raquel Rodriguez against Bayley. That's not a dream match. Tony, you failed us. It didn't work out. Tony has failed us. So now we go back to the drawing board here for our next match, which will be a scaffold match. Well, this is quite dangerous. Now, we have to do a tag match and a men's match. I don't know that doing a tag team scaffold match is the best idea, but I think that's what we're going to have to do. We're about to do a tag team scaffold match. This is going to get very ugly very quick. The Motor City Machine Guns. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. You know, I feel like they've had their share of Ultimate X, right? So, I mean, if they could do that, then a scaffold match should be easy for them. Although Chris Sabin has, I think, torn his ACL two or three times, so probably not the best stipulation match for him, but let's see here. Motor City Machine Guns against the Quebecers in a scaffold match. Just picture the Quebecers running away from them on the scaffold, and I mean, look, believe it or not, this young man that you see here on the right, that is PCO. That's how long he's been wrestling for. PCO, you know, even a young PCO, you know he's going to take some ridiculous bump off the scaffold. Got to give that the bell. Come on now. PCO would, no, PCO would not run away. Jacques would run away. PCO is going to get dumped off that scaffold, and I just hope he doesn't kill himself. And our stipulation for the main event will be a table match. Keeping it very simple. We're going to have a table match here. 4-hour main event. It all comes down to this, folks. It all comes down to this. CM Punk is in the main event of night two of Be the Booker. CM Punk in a table match. Against the Brooklyn Brawler. Well, round number two didn't pack quite the same punch as round number one. Unfortunately, Punk will make it work. Yeah, he can make it work somewhere else. You're not making that work in my main event. At least we got the clean sweep in round number one. And that's nothing to sneeze at. Devin from New Jersey. If WWE made WCW into its own brand like it intended, would it have suffered the same fate as WWECW and been dead in a couple of years? Yes. Yes. They would not have been able to help themselves, even if they did the right thing initially and really built up WCW as like a real brand or a real threat. Eventually, there would have been a big super card like at WrestleMania, but eventually they would not have been able to help themselves. And they would have booked it into oblivion. Denard. Def Orton. God. I had no idea what you were referring to at first. Okay, he's talking about Miles Bourne. Does Def Orton, you misspelled Def, by the way. That's what threw me off. That's how Def Rebel spells it. Now, Def Orton does not win the NXT title. Obafemi is going to retain. I'm embarrassed by how long it took me to figure out what he meant by that. Base Beer is, remember when Mark Henry broke a steel padlock? He had some trouble with that. Initially, they edited that out of SmackDown when it aired. Yeah, he broke a padlock. He bent a frying pan. There's a reason why they called him the strongest man in the world. He's not somebody you wanted to mess with, even now, but especially back then. He looked like the Predator. They had him on SmackDown once, right? He was pulling a truck or a car or something. I mean, he was very strong. Anyway, I'm going to talk about my predictions for NXT Battleground, including one very interesting one for a pretty big match on that show. And AEW Double or Nothing final predictions, because more matches have been added since I last commented on Double or Nothing, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the WrestleMania 42 story. I got a bunch of news and notes, Roman Reigns and Street Fighter and Hogan and... Again, there'll be a Dark Side of the Ring review on The Sheik. I may not get to Daphne this weekend, but I will definitely be talking about her episode at some point soon. And still time for mailbag questions if you want to get them on in to me via email, and still time for PayPal donations so you can be a part of Roll Call at the beginning of the show. So that'll be episode 914 of The Sound Off coming up on Sunday. Not the only show that I'm doing on Sunday, because there will be an AEW Double or Nothing review. I don't know what time. Probably very late. But I will be live after Double or Nothing, talking about the Owen Hart finals and Anarchy in the Arena and everything else that happens on that show. So I hope you guys will tune in. Oh, the other thing on the podcast this weekend will be my Saturday night's main event review, because I will not be here tomorrow, I will not be here tomorrow. So I have no idea what time I'm going to be home. I could end up home earlier than I think, but I don't think it's going to happen. So we're just going to review Saturday night's main event on the podcast on Sunday. So that's what we'll be doing. Only two matches were announced. One is on the 0 hour. Yes, and I'm sure more will be announced very soon for the 0 hour. There's 10 matches currently. When they had eight a few days ago, I said, man, that's perfect. Eight matches is a good number. Now we're up to 10, and I suspect we'll be up to 11 or 12 by the time all is said and done. Did I watch Collision last night? What do you think? No. Trick Williams, new TNA world champ? I'll tell you where I think that's going to go. I'll tell you exactly where I think that's going. I'll talk about that on Sunday as well. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all the love and hanging out with me tonight. You guys are awesome. And Eminem, thank you for the $150 bomb. Getting us two rounds to Be the Booker. You're awesome, and so are all of you. I will see you guys back here live for more Sound Of this weekend. Until then, take care, guys.